Okay, Tov, good morning. We are continuing with today's daf. Today's daf is daf Mem Hei, daf 45. Sorry for the delay for those on Zoom, Mechila. Okay, we're at daf Mem Hei, sorry, Mechila. Today's class will be for the Refuah Shalom Abba Lachonim, Salam. Okay, we left off towards the middle of the page on 44b. Today's daf is actually a very short daf, but a very, very important halachic daf. So we are going to continue the conversation from yesterday about if somebody makes something ownerless. So the Gemara says we're three lines from the top of the page on 44b. Meitive, we have a contradiction. Hamafgir et karmo, if somebody makes his vineyard ownerless. V'lashachar, and the next morning, he wakes up early in the morning, amad ubitzaro, and he goes and he starts picking grapes. So what happens? Chayav beperet uvolelot uvshichecha uvpeah. He is obligated in all of these things. What are all of these things? So these are types of things that go to the aniyim, go to the poor people. The peret is, let's say, an individual grape or so that falls on the ground. The peret is that you leave that for the ani. Olelot, clusters that are left behind. Shichecha is a bundle of wheat that a person forgot in his field as he walked by. Uvpea, and we know the corner of the field that's left for the ani. All of these things, because he came back and he picked from the grapes of the vineyard, he becomes re-obligated. He obligates himself in all of these things. Upatur mina ma'aser. But he's exempt from giving ma'aser. He made his field ownerless. He went and re-picked the grapes. And now he's like reacquiring it, but not in the regard of ma'aser. So if you remember, we had two opinions yesterday. We had the opinion of Ula and the opinion of Reish Lakish. And the Gemara is going to go now asking on both opinions how this makes sense. So the Gemara says, Bishlama le'ula. It makes sense according to Ula. That what did Ula say? If we go to the Mefaresh, he says, "Demokim lebraita delael dekatani kol gimel yamim yacholach zorbo." He said the braita earlier that the first 3 days you can retract, right? It's not considered ownerless the first 3 days. Demi deoraita have hefker. He says that is according to Torah law. It's considered ownerless. Af agav deloati lerushut zoche, even if it has not arrived to the hands of the zoche. Aval rabbanan hu deamor deloave hefker ad lachar shosha yamim mipnei haramayin. But the Chachamim are the one who instituted that for the first 3 days, someone who makes something ownerless will not be considered ownerless, because we said of the Ramain who would make something ownerless and then reacquire it to exempt themselves from Ma'aser. So the Gemara says, Hanami detani hacha, so too over here, that it's taught over here, patur mi Ma'aser, when it says exempt from Ma'aser, v'have hefker deoraita, it's talking about biblical, actual ownerless. Ka'amar avad mi derabanan chayav imnei ramayin, but according to derabanan, it's still obligated. So this makes sense according to Ula, back to the Gemara, derabanan katanila, that he says it's only mi derabanan a person is obligated in maser, right? With deoraita katanila, I mean, he says the opinion of Rabbanan was the one who taught the reisha of the Braita yesterday, and so therefore really right away when he makes something ownerless, it's considered ownerless altogether. With deoraita katanila, and really it's considered deoraita level of hefker. And so therefore, that's why he's exempt from Ma'aser. It's only midirabanan, they obligated him in Ma'aser because of the Ramayin. Whereas, Ela the Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, that what did he say? We said that the Baraita is not going to, according to the Rabbanan, according to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said the Baraita is going like Rabbi Yose. Whereas, Ula said that the Baraita is going like Rabbanan. So now look, what did Reish Lakish say? So the Mefaresh says, the Okimla the Baraita de la'el aliba de Rabbi Yose. He establishes the Baraita yesterday, like Rabbi Yosef, the Amar Gimel Yamim Lo Have Efker Afilu Midoraita. He says the first 3 days when someone makes something ownerless, that's not even considered the biblical level of Efker. The Laachar Gimel Yamim Lo Have Efker Elamid Rabbanan. After 3 days, this is considered It's only a rabbinic level of hefker after 3 days. Why? So they said so that people will not forget hefker, not forget the laws of ownerless. This is the next chalak. We're not up to that yet. So that's why. So he says though that it's only midrabanan it's considered hefker. So according to Rish Lakish, if really only rabbinically it's hefker, so according to the Torah law, it's not considered ownerless, then why is the person over here exempt from ma'aser? You should be obligated in ma'aser if it's not ownerless. So the Gemara says, that's exactly what the Gemara says. Ela the Rish Lakish, amai patur min ma'aser. According to Rish Lakish, why is the person exempt from giving ma'aser? So Amar Lach, Rish Lakish would tell you the following. Ki amri ana, what I was saying, that it's only a rabbinic level of hefker, that is Rabbi Yossi. That's following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. But that's not the author over here. This Baraita is Ha Rabbananhi, is following the opinion of Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan was of the opinion that right away, right when a person makes something ownerless, according to Torah law, that's considered ownerless, even if it has not yet arrived at the person's hands. That's how Reish Lakish would answer this question. Flipping the Amud. The Gemara then says a second answer. Iba it ema, if you want to say, Had afkare ba'anpe train, Had afkare ba'ape tlata. The difference is if you made something hefker in front of two people or three people. It's a big difference. Damar Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, Kol ha-mafkir b'fnei shalosha, anybody who makes something ownerless in front of three, have hefker. That's considered something ownerless. B'fnei shnayim, in front of two, lo have hefker. That's not considered ownerless. We're going to see why. But over here, what's the idea? What are we saying? We're saying, so look at the Mefarish. The Mefarish says, V'ibaitema, ki pligi Rabbi Yossi alayu de Rabbanan. When does Rabbi Yossi disagree with the rabbis? De amri lo ave efker, that he says it's not considered ownerless. He says, kegon de lo afkere ele be'ape tre. If a person only made something ownerless in front of two people. The rule is you need to have three people. We're going to explain why soon. But you need to have three people in order for it to really be hefker. So Rabbi Yossi, so this is answer number two. Really, the explanation could be that earlier, when we said in the beginning of the Baraita that if you make something hefker for the first 3 days, it's not hefker, why did Rabbi Yossi say that? It's because that was only in front of two people. Over here, what are we talking about? He made this hefker in front of three people. So according to all opinions, this would be considered ownerless. And that's why over here he's exempt from ma'aser, but over there Rabbi Yossi said you'd be obligated in ma'aser. Right. Why do you need three people for hefker? So the Gemara brings an opposing opinion. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, he says, Dvar Torah, according to Torah law, afilu be'echad have hefker. Even with one person, it's considered hefker. If I make something ownerless, even in front of one person, according to Deoraita level, that's ownerless. But, umatam amru v'shlosha, why did the Chachamim say you need three people? Kedei sheye echad zoche u'shnai me'idin. So that you can have, if one person wants to acquire whatever is made ownerless, you have one person there, and you have two witnesses to testify that this is exactly what happened. He made this ownerless, he acquired it, and now it belongs to him. So therefore, they would require midrabanan three people. And if you look at the Ran, in the last line of the Ran actually says this. He says, Hilkach midivrei sofrim eino hefker ad sheyafkir b'fnei shalosha. According to the Ran, it's not considered hefker, midrabanan, until you make something ownerless in front of three people. And he says, V'chen katav harambam. And the Rambam agrees with that. And not only the Rambam agrees with that, but Maran HaShulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch agrees with that as well. So midoraita, on a Torah level, the Ran, the Rambam, Maran, they all say that it's considered hefker even in front of one, according to Torah level. But midrabanan, the Chachamim instituted that you need to have three, and Maran actually says it like this. He says, in order so that if one person wants to be zoche, he can, and two can be witnesses.
What if that's they don't want that the third person comes later? You don't need three.
Midoraita, yes. Midrabanan, no.
You write the one enough, but they write
it. That's what you said. Midoraita, yes. Midrabanan, you need three.
Right? One yeah. is enough. Not even two.
Nachon. Midoraita, if you have one, that's enough. Midrabanan, you need three. Hadar alach en ben hamudar, that is the finishing of the parak. So now we're going to start a new parak, and this new parak is now going to be, it's a very short Gemara daf, but I'm sure if we spent a lot of time learning the Ran over here, it would take us a lot more time. Maybe we'll look into it a little bit just because we have a very short daf. But this new parak is going to be talking about partners. Business partners. So if you have people who are business partners, and obviously the Gemara is about Nedarim. So if you take this should be in here. If anybody wants to use this, you can use this also. If you take a Neder on a partner, let's say for example, two partners, they own something together. And they take a Neder not to benefit from one another. Now what do? They own something together. How can they continue? So can they go into each other's store? They own a store together. They own a courtyard together. They own anything together. They take a nether not to benefit from one another. Now, are they allowed to go into the store? So now we're going to get into, before we jump into the Mishnah, and I'm not going to go through the whole Mishnah today, but just the beginning part of the Mishnah, because it's very, very in-depth Mishnah. There's going to be a concept that we're going to learn today that's called Yesh Brera or Ein Brera. Is there something called retroactive clarification or not? Meaning, me and Ploni, A and B person, A and person B, go into a partnership together. Okay? And now they own, let's say, a store together. Now this person owns the right side of the store, this person owns the left side of the store, the merchandise on the left. Now they take a nether, each of them take a nether, not to benefit from one another. So now what happens is, are they allowed to even walk into the store altogether? So if you say, yesh brera, if you say that there is retroactive clarification, I walk into the store, and whichever side I walk into, now at that point, that retroactively becomes my portion of what we had partnershiped in. And now I'm allowed to benefit from my own things, I can't benefit from his, but this is mine retroactively because that's where I'm walking into. Whereas if you say en brera, there's no retroactive clarification, then you cannot retroactively go back and say, no, now that I'm walking into this part of the store, this must be my part of the store and therefore it's allowed. So that's the difference between en brera and yesh brera, if there is retroactive clarification versus not. If there is, then I would be allowed to go into my part of the land. If there is no retroactive clarification, then I would not be allowed to go into the land. Now this is exactly what the Mishnah says. Hashutafin shenadur hana'a zemize. If you have partners that took a neder of hana'a, benefit from one another, asurin likanes l'chatzer, they're not allowed to go into a courtyard. And the Mefarish says, what's this chatzer? B'chatzer shel shnehen. It's talking about a courtyard that they both own. The kol chad azur b'drisat haregel shechavero. Each one is forbidden to benefit from the walking into their friend's courtyard. Right? The first part of the Mefarish says that the Gemara will explain what exactly the Mishnah is referring to. But so that's the first opinion, Tana Kama. The Mishnah then says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ze nichnas letoch shelo, veze nichnas letoch shelo. He says that no, each person is allowed to walk into their own portion of the courtyard. Meaning it doesn't have to be that he's not allowed to go into any part of the courtyard because they're a partnership. Rabbi Eliezer says, retroactively I can clarify that, oh, by the fact that I'm walking into this part of the courtyard, that's showing that this is my part, and he's walking into that part of the courtyard, it's showing that this is his part of the courtyard retroactively. So therefore, the machloket here essentially in the Mishnah is the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Tanakama is of the opinion that ein brera, there is no retroactive clarification, you cannot retroactively clear up which one is mine. Rabbi Eliezer says there is retroactive clarification. This is a machloket all over. It's not just over here.
It's the original machloket for Brera.
I think this is in Baba Kama, if I'm not mistaken. It comes from Baba Kama. It's in Masada
Beitza. Maybe it's one day. Maybe it depends on the nature.
Nachon, it's a good question. The way retroactive clarification works is that by the fact that now I'm coming into this part and I'm working with this part of the property that we own, I'm showing that this is what I wanted to own to begin with. And so that's why you can retroactively clarify that. Let's look at the Ran for a moment. Let's look at the Ran. Hashutafin shenadur hana'a zeh mizeh asurim lekenes lechatzer. The kasavar haitana vitur asur b'mudar hana'a. This Tana holds that vitur is forbidden by somebody who's mudar hana'a. Somebody who is in mudar hana'a. Vitur is like to let, being a vatran. Meaning, yeah. You're allowing, okay, I take a neder that you can't benefit from me, and you take a neder I can't benefit from you, and we're partners. So can we just say, okay, we both let it go? We both let it go.
We have a nether. We let it go.
It's a good question you're asking. It's a good question. But by mudar hana, exactly that point, you cannot do that. Then we said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Ze nichnas letoch shelo, Ze nichnas letoch shelo. Each one goes into their own part. So, akim na b'gemara b'chatzer she'ein ba din chalukah. Okay, I don't want to jump into the Gemara part because the Ran is already jumping into the Gemara. But the Gemara is going to talk about what type of courtyard we're actually referring to, which is what the Mefarish was talking about earlier. What exactly is the Mishnah talking about? We're going to see B'zad Hashem tomorrow on Shabbat, B'zad Hashem, where we're going to continue with the Mishnah, and we're going to jump into the Gemara. But no, we're going to do it on Shabbat, B'zad Hashem. On Shabbat. Yeah, tomorrow, I'm going to send the schedule, B'zad Hashem. So just to do a recap, we started on the Amud Bet, Memdalet Amud Bet. We came to a contradiction stating that if somebody makes his vineyard hefker and then he goes and picks the grapes, so we said that he's exempt from ma'aser. So the Gemara said, according to Ula, it makes sense because we said deoraita is hefker in the baraita. But according to Rish Lakish, it doesn't make sense. He said that midrabanan is hefker, midoraita it's not hefker. So why would you be exempt from ma'aser? Because only something that's ownerless is exempt from ma'aser. If biblically it's not ownerless, then you'd be obligated in ma'aser. So the Gemara, we gave two answers according to Rish Lakish. One was that that was Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Over here, it's talking about Rabbanan's opinion. Answer number two was the difference between if you make something hefker between two or three people. If it's in front of two people, that's not considered hefker min Rabbanan. If it's in front of three people, that's considered hefker min Rabbanan. We said, and the halacha is biblically, mideoraita, it's considered hefker even in front of one person. Midrabanan, the Chachamim instituted, you need to have three people. Kach pasak haran, Rambam, Maran, Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because you need one, in case one wants to be zochen. Two witnesses, so you need to have three midrabanan. That was the Amud Aleph. Amud Bed, we got into the discussion about partnership. And we said, if somebody is a partner, we had a machloket between Tanakhama and Rabbi Ezim and Yaakov. You have a partner in business, each one takes a neder of hana'ah from one another. Are they allowed to go into each other's shop, inside each other's courtyard? So the Mishnah brought a machloket. Tanakhama said, no. Because there's no brera, there's no retroactive clarification. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, yes, because you can retroactively clarify, this is my portion of the land. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.